Local news can come at you fast. Want the latest on what's happening in your backyard? Download the free Odyssey app. Follow your local news station, and you'll get alerts on the top stories making headlines in your city. You can stay in the know, no matter what you're up to, and be among the first to find out when news breaks. Plus, keep tabs on weather and traffic, so you're never caught off guard. To get started, download the Odyssey app. That's A-U-D-A-C-Y. And follow your local news station.
Welcome to another one of these. I'm Austin York. He's Tristan Rines. Thank you so much for joining us. America's team. And we have something to talk about of significance. And that was a preseason game. The Cowboys did lose to who they play again?
Jacksonville Jaguars.
Yeah, that shows you how much that you're paying attention to their opponent. But yeah, Jacksonville Jaguars, Goldilocks, Trevor Lawrence, that's what I call him. They lost 28-23. It was a close game, but really in these games, we don't really care about the end score. We just care about the individual matchups. How did people look getting the reps when they were on the field? And then you take away what was good and what was bad. And I'll start with you, Tristan. What did you think were the negatives? Let's go negatives first from the Cowboys in that first preseason game that you might be a little worried about.
We talked about it a lot over the offseason, and I feel like I just keep hitting this nail with the hammer over and over and over again, but it's the offensive line.
Yeah.
The lack of depth is what was really present to me, and I know there were certain elements of, well, the Jaguars were starting some of their starters in this matchup, a lot more on the offensive side, though. But man, that protection broke down quite a bit in certain areas. Cooper Rush getting sacked pretty early into the game. I saw Will Greer under pressure quite often. And the further into the game you go, the sloppier the football gets. But that offensive line depth just didn't look very promising to me. That was the biggest concern that I had coming out of this
one. And I want to say that real quickly because that's the first thing I thought of. In fact, when I was driving home, I was thinking about that. I was like, that's the only thing. And I will say, that really stood out to me as, oh, wow. And it's because, now, you brought this up. I want to preface this. Cowboys did not start a single starter.
Yeah.
All of those guys were backups. Some were third on the depth chart. But Jacksonville, while they didn't start all their starters on the defensive line, they started a couple. They played them for a little bit. And you saw that if the Cowboys do have a problem at offensive line with any kind of injuries,
anywhere,
these are the guys, you're filling in. Now, it's different when you plug one guy in versus all five guys. Obviously, we're seeing some difference. But, yeah, that really stood out to me is that Cooper Rush was running for his life immediately, and you almost couldn't get a good read on the offense, at least in the first quarter, because it was like, dude, they're not doing anything. Every time that Rush is back to throw, he's got about a second to throw before he's getting hit or people are getting knocked off their targets. So I completely agree with you there, and that's why I wanted to jump in instead of going back. I didn't really think that anybody, and I'm trying to think right now, stood out as far a performer on the offensive line of the ball. So what was the other, thing that stood out to you as a maybe something that we need to watch? Or did anything concern you then?
I mean, it was such a glaring issue on that offensive line. That's really what kept my attention, checking back in and looking at that game. Overall, I will say this much. Everything else looked good in a nutshell, right? You take a moment where the offensive line was operating. There did look to be a certain level of smoothness. I think the biggest question moving forward with this Cowboys offense is probably who's going to be that wide receiver, maybe 3-4. Obviously, Gallup kind of feels like the cemented role there, but Jalen Tolbert obviously had a lot of really good reports coming out of camps. Dak Prescott had a bunch of really good words to say about him, and then he actually wound up scoring at one point during this first preseason game. So I think a lot of impressions for that wide receiver 4 spot and then potentially that tight end spot, but we just haven't seen Luke Schoenmaker yet. So those are more or less just questions I have moving forward.
I think the biggest, besides the glaring offensive line, and I think that was clearly 1, 2, and 3, I don't really know that anything else was
nothing catastrophic.
No, yeah. And I don't think even that was catastrophic. I just went, these guys need to get a lot more reps or something needs to happen. But the second thing is, to me, and it is much different, Mozzie Smith. I thought Mozzie Smith looked good, but there were times where I'm like, oh, he's getting knocked around or he's not in the right position. And they played him a lot, they or at least a little bit here. In the first, I know they played him the first half and a little bit of the third. So I don't know that that's too concerning. He is a rookie. That was his first NFL action. He was going up against, like you mentioned, first team guys with Jacksonville for early on. And as I think, and I will say this for the offensive line, when you started measuring them with the guys that are going to be measured against, the second team guys were matched with the second team, the third with the third, you started seeing them play better. And I think that when Mozzie Smith started playing better is when those second and third team guys started coming in.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not terribly concerned about him, but that was a worry. Now, on the flip side, I wanted to bring up your highlights, and I think you kind of were moving in that direction, and that's the wide receivers. You saw some nice things, I guess, from a couple of them for WR4.
Yeah, like I said, I think Jalen Tolbert might have been my highlight there. Again, he's just had a lot. He's had a lot of attention this offseason. Last year was basically labeled a bust really quickly for not having any real
ridiculous. Yeah, but you're right.
Like having no
they
real impact on
something
the
from him.
Well,
yeah.
I mean when you're looking third at this Cowboys pick, offense last year when it was just all right, well, it's CD and then Gallup who obviously got hurt really early on and just never really got back to where he was supposed to be, I suppose, to be that natural wide receiver too. Yeah, I mean, a lot of the eyes are on Jalen Tolbert's lack of success. Obviously, they had James Washington at one point last year, too. Early in training camp, suffered a really bad injury, just never quite got back either. So, yeah, wide receiver 4 is a big spotlight. But speaking of Mozzie real quick, the glimpses that I had of him, at least, yeah, first team, I mean, rookie action, for sure. You're going to get pushed around quite a bit. But at certain points of the game, there were times where I was watching him get double-teamed. He was getting some push up the center. I mean, I wouldn't say it was a total loss on his first out. It was just, all right, well, it's first team action.
Yeah, exactly. He needs some reps, there's no doubt. And I want to talk about Tolbert there for a second. I thought that he clearly took the role of WR4, that wide receiver 4 that the Cowboys really want. I don't believe the Cowboys have had a better offense than a couple of years ago when it was Amari Cooper, CeeDee Lamb, Michael Gallup, and then Cedric Wilson was that fourth guy. I mean, and Cedric came in when Gallup went down and clearly filled in that third. I think the Cowboys are really looking at some good wide receiver depth. If you can get Tolbert, and I think he has shown that in camp, to show what he did in that game, I thought he played pretty well. I thought he ran a good route on that touchdown, came back to get the ball.
It was Greer who threw that one, right?
Greer threw the touchdown, yeah. And then the Jalen Brooks, it looks like we were saying, there's going to be a Jalen in these fourth, fifth, and sixth maybe even. But Jalen Brooks came in. I thought he looked okay. I think he was kind of subject to some bad passes that maybe weren't there. But again, I do think that the wide receiving core kind of looked pretty good when it started settling down, when you saw Greer come in, the second and third teamers come in. And so you have to take that with a grain of salt. But I did think that they showed some promise.
There's also Kevontae Turpin.
Yeah, now he had the fumble. But I think in the return, but I think Mike McCarthy was saying, look, he just got too aggressive. We wanted him to fair catch that thing. He just decided I'm going to make something happen and did. But yeah, Kevontae Turpin, you expect him to do a little bit more this season. So I'm really excited for that wide receiving core of the Cowboys. You mentioned another thing. Tight end and Luke Schoonmaker didn't really come around that much. He played a little bit. I think he did make a catch.
Oh, did he? Okay.
Yeah, in the third or fourth. I can't. It's like the guy that I think is really going to be interesting. I think the Cowboys are going to have some really hard decisions to make, and it's John Stephens.
Hmm.
This is a tight end that scored the touchdown there. He's always for the Cowboys. He's always around that end zone. He's a red zone threat. They really like him in camp from what I'm hearing. There is no way in heck that they're going to keep 5 tight ends. And that's what they've got here. They're probably going to just shave that down to 3 to make maybe for a 6th wide receiver. I don't know how you than who it is. I think John Stevens clearly to me is the number three guy.
I mean, he
Jake
definitely
Ferguson won.
Yeah, he definitely stands out. I mean, Schoonmaker, probably going to be your tight end too going into the season when he effectively when he really gets healthy too. Yeah, there's no sense in having four tight ends unless you're just an offense that loads up on every possible receiving option you can possibly gear. Yeah, I would say three tight ends, Ferguson, and right now, yeah, you said John Stevens, correct?
So then you got Peyton Hendershot, who everyone loved. I did, too.
Yeah.
And then you got Steve McCown, who they've been high on for a long time. Both of those could be casualties.
I mean, there's always surprise cuts to somebody at the end of the offseason, but at the end of the day, it's a performance sport, right? I mean, Stevens is the only guy who scored that touchdown, right? I mean, that's the easy point, too. Unless they want to keep a fourth guy as more of a designated blocking tight end for big, heavy run packages.
That's Luke Schoonmaker. That's what he's there for. I did think he did look pretty good at blocking. I've seen him the last couple of days in camp, and especially in that padded practice that they had yesterday where everyone was fighting. He really did look good at blocking, and that's what we've heard, and bring him in for that. Jake Ferguson, I don't think there's any doubt. He's the only offensive starter that played for the Cowboys. I don't think there's any doubt. He is clearly your tight end one.
And he had a really nice catch over the middle there in like second quarter, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, he looked great. So you really got to like what those wide receivers are doing. I think they're going to have some questions. John Stevens, by the way, was a wide receiver in college. They're going to beef him up a little bit. If they keep him, then you're going to have, like you said, you're going to have two guys, Ferguson and Schoonmaker, who you're really relying on to do most of the blocking, and Stevens would be just a red zone threat. Defensively for the Cowboys, I thought the linebackers played absolutely wonderfully. DeMarvion Overshown, number zero, or 35, he showed great quickness. He was getting to the ball quickly. Game, but he really was. He was on top of it. He was tackling people for losses. I thought the game wasn't too fast for him. Again, second and third teamers. He did play a little bit against the first, but still he looked great. Damone Clark is a guy that I think is last year was a rookie linebacker. He really looked great. I thought those linebackers on defense, at least, were the star of the show. What stood out to you on defense?
I actually did have a negative point for the defense, and it's, I think, a general lack of awareness the further down the depth chart you've gotten, because you saw two different quarterbacks run in read options for touchdowns. That's just a coaching point, more or less, maybe, but if you're in those kind of goal line situations, I think... Again, preseason, though. I mean, the further down the depth chart you get, the further down the depth chart you get.
I know that... You're right about that, but one of the throws that won the game was the third string. That was the guy was dead to rights, and luckiest throw I ever saw.
Yeah, the Rourke throw. Oh my goodness! You got to wrap up and tackle though in that situation. I'm the noted Patriots fan, right? I 07 flashbacks to the Super Bowl. You wrap up Eli Manning, take him down to the ground, right? That's just.
But he was going. what was crazy is that guy was going down. He was inches from touching, and he was somehow able to get that ball off. Anyway, that being said, I do think that the defense, for the most part, played all right. You do worry about picking up the read option, because in the NFC East, you know that's going to be a big point of contention with Danny Dimes running, Jalen Hurts running, and then
whoever they've got out in Washington.
Yeah, and Howell is an athletic guy. Romeo Crennel's going to be doing some things with him. So you're definitely going to have to pick up those things. But I definitely think that this defense is quicker than I have seen in a lot of years. And I think the depth is there. We didn't see a lot of stars. In fact, very, if any. And DeMone Clark is going to start as a linebacker there. I thought I saw a couple of ends there. I'm not sure. Gallimore might have played a little bit more. I don't know if he's going to start. But either way, there's some depth there. And that's another thing that I liked.
That's what you want on your defense, for sure. I mean, being able to rotate guys in and out, there's a lot of really good defensive line depth. Even if Mazi Smith doesn't start day one, him being a rotational interior guy is going to be incredibly valuable. And your linebackers, right? I mean, the big point we did mention a lot this offseason was Leighton Vander Esch probably being the weakest point of the defense, and they decided to re-sign him. if Overshown can really step up and get into that coverage space, you talked about his quickness a lot, that being one of his biggest selling points going into this NFL draft. I mean,
that's right.
If he can keep that snappiness, that quickness out there in coverage, because he's really good at running downhill and getting to the backfield. That was effectively his entire college highlight tape. But if he can keep that quickness and keep up with a couple of these, you know, more athletic tight ends, you got Goddard, you've got Darren Waller now in the division, and then Logan Thomas even with Washington, not a bad threat either. I mean, it's going to be incredibly valuable.
And I think that's why they got him. I think that's why they picked him up. They were so excited in that third round pick. I remember when they picked him, they were flipping out.
Mm-hmm.
And so they obviously saw something. And Dan Quinn is excellent at doing that. And so far, he seems to be fitting the bill. Obviously, as you mentioned, and we always have to preface these things. These are preseason games.
Yeah.
We're not flipping out over these things. But he looks good so far with what he's been thrown his way. And that brings us to this week's practice. And I wanted to get your idea on this. Cowboys were swinging at each other yesterday, and it made national attention. I know that we shouldn't care what national people say about the Cowboys, because the Cowboys are always going to be in the national spotlight. But for some reason, when the Cowboys start fighting, it's a big deal. No one else. There's been tons of camp fights.
And yeah.
And they've been talking about, this shows disruption in the team. What do you think generally? How do you feel about your team? I know you're a Patriot fan at heart, but what do you feel about your team swinging?
Man, it's camp. It's competition. In fact, I love to see it. You don't want it to be so bad that it's a rift in the team that it makes things incredibly awkward, but it's not uncommon for there to be fights at camps, either within your own team or with other teams. I know the Jets and the Buccaneers have had a lot of run-ins these last few days.
Packers had one today. They threw the guy's helmet up in the air.
Yeah, I mean, last season, one of the best photos you could probably ever get of training camp is when Aaron Donald, they were practicing against, who was it? Maybe the Bengals. He holding two helmets, his own and an offensive lineman's helmet.
That's right.
Tensions run high in training camps. But you kind of want that, right? You want there to be that competitive aggressiveness. You want there to be guys trying to fight for those reps. You want that guy who's going to go to battle, man. It's a tough sport out there.
And I think more specifically with the Cowboys, they have not, as you mentioned with those others, they haven't played anyone else. It's just them. And so the only person you're allowed to hit is the guy on your team. And look, in training camp, everyone's so fired up. They're amped up. They want to hit somebody.
Yeah.
And look, one thing I liked, and I'll tell you this, Biotish, the center, when he came out of nowhere and he leveled Sam Williams, I'm like, that's awesome. Tyler is not a guy that I ever thought would be, whoa, watch out.
Mm-hmm.
He's the one that's swinging. He's going to be the one to take on the defense. And let's be honest, on the Cowboys right now, the badass unit is thought of as the defense. That's the defense.
Yeah.
Is the kings there, Micah Parsons and Sam Williams and some other names. And so for him to come in and just say, hey, we're here too. We're tough as nails. I loved it. And I think it was important too, because this is a far cry from the Jason Garrett Cowboys. And I love that.
Mm-hmm.
That team was always thought of as a finesse team that didn't have tough guys on the team, that they could get outmatched by more physical teams like the Niners and so on. I think McCarthy has taken a while, but he's getting that group. Dan Quinn definitely wants those dogs on defense, and I think he's got it. That's what, to me, that signified that a little bit more, and I love seeing it.
And at the end of the day, it's all competition. There's only but so many guys that are going to make this roster, right? So, I mean, I'm almost not surprised that this happens as much as it does. Everybody wants to compete, man. At the end of the day, somebody's getting that paycheck. Somebody's going to make that team, and somebody else isn't, so...
And one of the things we were talking about a little bit off mic, and I wanted to bring up, and I think Cowboy fans can be a little bit hesitant about this season. And I wanted to get your idea before we get into this. From where you're seeing the Cowboys are right now,
mm-hmm.
How old are you again?
26.
26 years old. This has got to be the best Cowboys team, roster-wise, that you have seen probably in your lifetime of at least – understanding what a sport is and knowing what you're watching. So maybe 10 years old. So
roughly,
for the last 16 years, this has got to be the best team. Am I wrong?
I don't think you are. This is a very good Cowboys team. I mean, we always talk about on paper is very different than on the field, but I've seen a lot of these guys on the field. Stephon Gilmore, huge addition. I've loved Brandon Cooks. Two big splashes that I think have been incredibly underrated in the national conversation for this Cowboys team. But look, man, everywhere you look on this roster, there's somebody there that's like, yeah, you could very easily say he's one of the, either the best at his position or a very notable player at his position.
I totally agree. And I think, you know, I'm obviously a little bit older, and I don't think that there has been a better Cowboy team roster-wise that I have seen in the last decade or more. Maybe since the 90s. And I know I know we haven't seen anything, but just on the roster, there were some talented Romo teams, and I don't want to take away from those teams. But this is the most optimistic roster-wise I have been going into a Cowboy season since I can't remember. And I think I speak for a lot of Cowboys fans when I'm scared to death, because while everyone else might be excited, oh yeah, our team's going to be good, there's a part of me in the Cowboys fan nation that's going, oh God, when's the shoe going to drop here and all this thing is going to fall apart.
Unfamiliar expectations.
Oh, because this is what I really come down to believing. In the NFC this year, This is the Cowboys' year. I think the Eagles are going to take a step back. We already talked about that. I think they have a good roster, but you have to wonder where Jalen Hurts is going to be. Is he going to be able to repeat what he did last year? We know what Prescott is. We've seen him do this. If you give him weapons, he can do it. We've seen Hurts do this one time, and can he do that again? That's the big question. The Niners, Purdy.
We don't even know who's going to be their quarterback this season.
He's played 8 games last year. He did well. But as I mentioned to you, I can tell you right off the top of my head, I can go back to 2000 and tell you 8 or 9 guys that had great years, 1 year. And then we don't ever know where are they today? They got good contracts. They're gone. We're talking about the Elvis Gerbachs back in the 90s, the Mike Bonos from the San Francisco 49ers. You're talking about the Carson Wentz, closer to what we saw. Baker Mayfield had a great year with Cleveland, got hurt, never the same. You don't know, and the quarterback position with the Cowboys is the most stable out of those two. You could say what you want. I'm not suggesting that Hurts is going to fail, but Cowboys are the most stable. Other than that, Aaron Rodgers is gone. This is it. And if the Cowboys don't do it this year, I really worry that there could be a cosmetic shift where a lot of things are going to change for that team next year.
I mean, we mentioned this off air, and I guess I'll repeat it here, right? I mean, Philly, let's say they even win the division. Dallas could still very well be the second best team in the NFC by record, but everything goes out the window in the playoffs. So you've got a lot of questions all over the roster. Can the or across the conference, let's go that way. The Eagles, can they repeat what they had last year? Very good question. Can the 49ers repeat that with the instability and the question marks at quarterback, right? Trey Lance doesn't, we're not really sure if he's really going to be that guy. Brock Purdy, how has he rehabbed? Sam Darnold making waves in camps.
Yeah.
Right? Minnesota, I don't even think is going to win their own division this year. I'm buying the Detroit hype train, by the way.
Yeah, all right.
But I'm just saying, like, there's a lot of questions. The conference is as wide open as it ever is going to be, in my opinion. This is their year. I think there's some credence to that. This could certainly be their year to make a big splash in the NFC.
And that's it. And with the Cowboys, they're dying because they don't get too many of these chances.
Yeah.
Obviously, it hasn't happened in 27 years and for an NFC championship game berth. And so, again, that's what worries me. It comes down to one of these situations where they've got to do it this year or else then they're real thinking about new head coach. New quarterback, even if they sign him, they're thinking we've got to find something to back him up. I don't know. We can't just keep throwing out the same thing.
I mean, the only thing that derails this team in my eyes is health. It really is. And you can throw everything out the window because, I mean, heck, you know, knock on wood, Dak Prescott goes down for 5-6 weeks. That could very well be what determines your season, right?
Yeah.
Somebody else, a big major player, you know, you don't want to see that happen. But it's the NFL. This is a gladiator sport, and things happen. But that's everybody else, too. Every single team, all 32, they have to deal with the same problem. How do we keep our starters healthy?
Yeah, I want to preface this. Everything, all things being equal, Cowboys stay healthy.
Yeah.
This is a year to do it. And I keep saying this to myself. It's like, if it's not this year, then when?
Yeah.
How can you get this team, maybe a couple of guys on offensive line, but even if that offensive line stays healthy and is strong, where else? I mean, again, we've got the defense, we've got the depth, the wide receiver depth, the tight end depth. I mean, the only thing you maybe don't have is a quarterback depth, but still.
I mean, you might have a question about kicker, but.
Kicker, and you hope a lot of games don't come down to 3 points or less. But this is the year, and I really do believe it. If they don't do it this year, you really cringe to wonder what happens now.
What else do they need?
Yeah. And
everything's going their way.
That's right. You've got this window. And as you get older, you notice these things, is that I can tell you windows of open and close, not only for the Cowboys, but for different franchises all over the place. We got a window right now for the Kansas City Chiefs.
Mm-hmm.
That thing's going to be closing in a year or so. It just is just how it happens. It's the way things are in the NFL. Everything changes so much. So you have to take advantage of it when you have it. And that's what the Cowboys got to do. Real quickly before we go, what are you looking to see in the game against Seattle this Saturday?
Again, just offensive line. If they can step up and play better, that gives you more optimism going into the season. Whether they play all their starters or it's all the backups or whatever, you want to see more of an impression made on the offensive line. If they perform well, you've got at least one out of two performances, that optimal third, that rubber match, so to speak, that final week at the preseason could very well give you that last little bit of confidence. But I am zeroing in on the offensive line.
I want to say I do want to see a little bit more from the wide receivers, a continuation. I'd like to see a little bit more from maybe Jalen Brooks or maybe Jalen Crooper. One of those guys make it interesting if we're going to hold five or six guys. I do want to see a little bit more of the Deuce Coupe. I'm surprised that neither one of us have really said anything about
Deuce. Oh, yeah, I wanted
Vaughn
to bring him up. He's been very impressive.
Yeah, I mean, I think that I do want to caution everybody, because the moment that he did well, I went to Twitter and I saw national guys start saying this is a steal of the draft and the Cowboys totally. I get it, but he was going against second and third team guys, so let's
he was
careful.
He was fantastic in college. He was basically playing his contemporaries from college again. So
I want to see preseason more from him, maybe see if they can get him in some different kinds of plays. That would be great, but really the thing that I'm really most likely or most hoping to see, get off the turf. I want everyone to get up, get healthy, don't want any injuries, no carts coming out there, and then I'll be happy. So again, the Cowboys play the Seahawks this Saturday. I'm Austin York. That's Tristan Rines. Until next time, have a good one.